You ever have one of those times in your life that your life just flashes before your eyes? Huh? Michaela started driving this week. I love you, darling. Really wasn't that bad. Good time. But seriously, have you had those times that you thought your life was going to end? And you look back over it and you wonder what you have done with it? We know the Lord has called us, as we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and our personal Savior. And we realize that any time this life can be over. If you've been around this life many times for very long, you have seen it disappear very quickly. I have been on this side of the pulpit of literally every age you can imagine, from 0 to 100, as a body would lay out in front of me. It happens. And what have you done with your life? Scripture calls us to the first thing in our life to come to do is to come to know Christ as our Savior, profess Him as our Lord and our Savior in our lives. But He asks us if we're on mission. Are you on mission with your life? Scripture calls us and shares with us in Acts chapter 1. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Passage of Scripture we will often look at and we come back to often, because it's a command that each and every one of us have. First of all, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, guess what? We have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us. At that very point that you profess Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of the living God comes and dwells within you. How much of Him did you get? Did you get a fourth of Him? Half? You got all of Him. Amen? He comes and dwells within you at the very point of salvation. That's what took place here within this passage of Scripture. It was talking about what would happen whenever the Spirit of God came upon the church for the very first time. And after this point, what took place is that salvation, the Spirit has come upon them. And He says, then as that takes place, you're to be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Are you? When you think about it, what is the Jerusalem? Georgetown, surrounding area, wherever you live at. You come to Georgetown Southern Baptist Church, so part of your Jerusalem is Georgetown, all right? But it's where you live and those neighbors that are there. It's where you work. It's every place that you are at within your normal everyday activity. I suspect that it goes out a little bit farther than it did in Jerusalem in that day, because we've got cars, all right? But that's our Jerusalem, our immediate area. And then we have that it goes out to the state, as it goes out into our Judea, into Indiana, one of the greatest states to be a Southern Baptist in, as we are starting more churches per churches that are already here than probably any state in the nation. I'm so excited about being Southern Baptist in Indiana. We are trying to reach people with more churches than any other denomination, anybody else, any other state in the country. But then Samaria, to our nation. One of the greatest church planting movements is taking place across our land right now, as churches are being planted all over the place to reach people for the sake of the gospel. And then Lottie Moon, as we come together as our Lottie Moon International Missions offering, we kind of kick it off. We've been letting you know about it a little bit before this week and goals and things of that nature. But we reach out to the uttermost part of the world. And folks, each and every one of us are to be involved in every one of those. Now, I understand not all of us can go to the uttermost parts of the world. Not all of us can go to all the different places within the United States. Some of us can't even get all the way to everywhere we need to be in Floyd County. All right? But we have responsibilities. And as we, as believers, at this Southern Baptist Church, if you give to our church, guess what? You are active in all of those areas. We give percentages of our monies that go to the uttermost parts of the world and minister right here. We give to our association 3%, and then we have 11% that goes to our state and to the rest of the world. And with everything that you give, that goes out. Just in finances that we give. We're on mission just with our finances, but are we on mission with our lives? I mean, we understand how dark this world is. Do you realize how dark that it can get? I mean, we live in a place, in a world where that 80% of the people in this world can't read or write. Some of them live in places where they don't have food to be able to eat. There are 70 countries within this world where they are systematically killing Christians today. Darkness, even in the United States. Debbie and I had the privilege of talking to someone a few weeks ago, and we sat down and were sharing the gospel with this individual, and come to talk, we started talking to them, and they started talking about how that they could speak to their dead relatives. Huh? That's the United States. Guess what? Spiritism and those kind of things are alive and well here. The message to take and to share the gospel with a world that's lost without Him. See, the scripture tells us in Luke 24, 46 through 47, says, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning here. Steve Klein paraphrase. But beginning right here, the message that we have. Is it a wonderful message? This means yes. Or amen means yes. It is a wonderful message, a message to take the gospel to a world that's lost and dying without Jesus. You heard in the pet text that we opened with this morning, it calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Self-denial as we share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us are called to missions. At Oklahoma Baptist University, Dick Rader was our the dean of Christian service at that school. And Dr. Rader and I had many disagreements on this subject, but he said, missionaries are professionals. And I always said, Dr. Rader, I don't care how many letters you got after your name, we're all missionaries. He and I, Dr. Rader's gone on to be with the Lord, but he and I would still disagree. And I can't wait to get to heaven and tell him that I was right. Because we are. We are all called to be on mission, no matter what our age is. I'm so excited to hear about some of our young students. That Garrett's been on mission this last summer. The other Garrett was in Haiti. How long ago? Where's the other Garrett? Oh, right next to the one Garrett. Okay, never mind. All right, I'm getting these checked in about a week and a half, all right? So maybe I'll be able to see you. So many that have been involved. We've had several that have gone to Huntington and on the mission trip. What, 7 or 8 of us that have gone to that and been on mission. And we have Neil that's been in Africa this last year. When do we stop being on mission? Anybody too old to be on mission? Huh? Are you? How old was Moses when he was called? Started at 80. Are you too young? Timothy, or Paul tells Timothy, don't let him be upset about your youth. Don't let him hold it against you. God has called us to be on mission. We're to pray for them. We're to give to them. We are to do what we can to be able to see people come to know Christ as Lord and personal Savior within their life. There's a song that I don't know if we've sung it in a long time, but it's called We Have a Story to Be Told to the Nations. And that song is so key. Really, it encompasses a great deal of our theology about missions. Dr. Jerry Rankin several years ago used it as an outline, and I have faithfully stolen it. All right? But the first verse of that song, it goes, "We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light." You hear that? We've got a story to tell. How many people live in this world? Right at 7 billion people. They say there are 2 billion that are Christians. However you want to define that. So there's 5 billion people that don't know Christ. The gospel. What's going to happen with 5 billion people? They're going to a place called hell without Christ. Every one of them. Paul asks us, or says, he is not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The true story of the gospel. Paul is not ashamed of it. He is so not ashamed of it that he is willing to die for the sake of sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw the missionary that we started with, and he referred to the text that we read earlier about denying himself and taking up his cross. And you saw that. That's what he did as he goes to Mozambique to be able to minister the gospel to people that are lost and dying without Jesus. Telling that story to those people, didn't you love that when that wall went falling down? As they had worshipped at their witchcraft. Because somebody was willing to go and tell the message of the gospel. I will never forget, I was at First Southern Baptist Church, Dell City in Oklahoma, a suburb of Oklahoma City. And we were at some kind of conference, and a missionary, I have no idea what the conference was about, but I remember this missionary. And he got up and he was telling us how that they chronologically told the message of the gospel. And he'd get up, and I believe he was in South America, if I recall. It's been a long time ago. But he shared this story, and they'd start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and start telling the story of the Scriptures. He said they would listen to him for 8 hours or more on end as he told the story of the Scriptures. I know some of y'all just took out your watches. All right, I've only had it 20 minutes. But they'd listen. And they'd hear. And they'd go from the daylight to the dark as they share. And as wherever he got at the end, he'd just cut it off. And he'd start again in the morning. And he told the story that said he'd gotten to the point of Abraham and Isaac. And it was later in the afternoon and telling that story. And at the end of the day, Isaac was on the altar and Abraham was about to kill him. It's getting dark. So he shuts it off. He said he had people coming to his door all night long going, "Abraham can't kill him. He's got to provide a substitute." What do you think happened? He got to tell them the story about the substitute for them, for their sin, Jesus. Folks, we've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell to your neighbors. You've got a story to tell to your friends. You've got a story to tell to those that you work with, those that you go to school with. You've got a story to tell to those that you know in any other different ways. And then to those that you don't know. See, Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He was willing to share the gospel even if it meant that somebody didn't like him. He wasn't mean about it, wasn't cruel about it. Scripture says to share in love. And that's how we do it. Nothing of ourself ought to offend, but the gospel, the message of Jesus. You have a story? Are you ashamed to tell it? I can't wait till next week and we have the youth and college kids do the service and get to hear what God's done in their lives. Amen. And hear some of that as they stand here and hear that they're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. What? I can't wait till next week. I know y'all can't. You don't have to listen to me for 1 week. You get a week off. You get to hear the good ones next week. We've got a story to tell. But the next verse goes and says we've got a song to sing. So we have a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. Is it a message that can be sung? I love listening to you guys sing this morning. I know Jim threw a new one out at you. And the music was a little bit different, and you may not have been used to it, but did you look at the words and how solid they were and how worshipful they were? Even if the music wasn't going along where you wanted it to be at, as it's pointing to the Lord. We've got a song to be sung. We sing a new song. Scripture tells us in Psalms 96, he says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, you like that? Sing to him a new song, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Folks, that ought to be our heart. You know what? People ought to almost be getting upset at you at work because you can't stop singing. Because of the song that is within your heart, you have a song to be sung. Even if you can't carry a tune in a sealed bucket, you can sing a new song. In Oklahoma several years ago, they had 8 people that had gone on a mission trip. And they were in a Buddhist monastery. And the missionaries were teaching them English and just having a good time with these monks. And the session ended, and the Oklahoma Baptists, they sang some Christian songs. And these monks were listening to the songs, and they looked at the monks and asked them to sing the songs. And they started out, and there were these chants that they started going through. And just as they started singing, they just kind of went, and have you heard, you know, you just start singing, and it just goes. That's what these monks did. They didn't have anything exciting to sing about. And they just looked at him and said, you know what? We don't have songs like you Christians. They don't. Man, you hear about the song. You hear the songs in other quote-unquote religions. And I mean, they're discouraging and depressing. What do we have to sing about? We get to sing about our great God, our great King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we were once dead in our sins. And because of the sacrifice that was made on the cross for us, we now have eternity with Him. And we have the power to live out this life because of that Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have a reason to sing. That's what's the joy about coming together and singing here. And it's kind of fun. Every once in a while, I'll pass one of you. Somebody's singing in the road. What, going down the road? You're not in the road. You're going down the road, all right? What a joy. You know what? Everybody all think we're nuts because we can't stop. Because of the song within our heart. The song continues and says, we've got a message to give to the nations. That the Lord who reigneth above has sent his Son to save us and to show us that God is love. We have to share the message. Romans 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Ask Debbie if I got pretty feet. Where's Debbie? She may be in, is she in children's church or is she here? She's in children's church or in the nursery. Don't ask her. It's not how they look. It's what a blessing it is as they share the good news. You hear that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how will they do it unless what? Unless we tell them. All the Muslims, all the Hindus, all the Buddhists, all the Sikhs, all the Jews, all the atheists, all the non-religious. How will they know unless we tell them? We've got to go. We've got to show him. We have a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all the world's great peoples may come to the truth of God. Ezekiel says, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Do you look forward to that? I don't know about you, but I am so disheartened as I hear the Lord's name taken in vain and used it as a swear word almost everywhere that I go. That I'm told that there is no such thing as a God. Breaks my heart. And his name will be vindicated. The name which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we've got to live it out. We think that radio and television will do it, and there may be those that come to know Christ as Lord and personal Savior, but it takes place as we one-on-one share the message of the gospel in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, and in our Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. They have to hear. I've shared with you over the past few weeks just how many within Southern Baptist that our missionary numbers have gone down. They're on the way back up. I'm thrilled to tell you. But right now we have 3,600 missionaries that are on the field. We were at 5,000 not very long ago, but I'm so thrilled to hear that last year Lottie Moon raised $10 million more than they did the year before, and the goal is $10 million more than last year. I think that we'll make it and fund more missionaries. They're living more off of Lottie Moon than they ever have before. It's about the point of 60% now, where it used to be about half and half of what we send on a monthly basis, plus Lottie Moon is what it used to be. Now it's more on Lottie Moon. We need to take the opportunity to give generously to Lottie Moon and let them know of our great God. Folks, they don't know who he is. They've known what they have heard. And what's so cool about this with our missionaries, though, is what's happening is we've got more opportunities to be able to send missionaries, and because we're not funding them 100% like this, we've got those that are going overseas with the jobs that they have and working their jobs in other places so that they, and the reason that they are doing it in other places in the world is so they can share the message of Jesus Christ doing their job. We've had missionaries that are here that they're missionaries on the field full time, but guess what? They are there and they have a business and that's what they do. What a blessing to be able to see, and the opportunities that we have to see people share Christ in so many different ways. Folks, how can Christ use you? You say, preacher, there's no way God would call me into missions. Why not? He has here. He can call you anywhere else. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I thought God called me into missions 20 years ago. I came up here on to Indiana, to Lafayette to preach. I thought that's foreign missions there. God brought me back 8 years ago to Indiana. It's not foreign missions, it's home now. What a blessing. Can God move you around? Can He use you? Can He use you here? Close by and to the uttermost parts of the world. Every missionary you'll talk to, the first thing they'll ask you to do is to pray. Everyone we've had here has prayed. I believe even in the video this morning, they said, pray. They'll give you, tonight we'll look at missionaries and they'll give you reasons and opportunities and ways to pray for them. There are those that go as church planters, business support workers, evangelists, agricultural missionaries, healthcare workers, community developers, strategic planners, student evangelists, and on and on and on. And they will not hear unless you go. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You say, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. It's as you share the message everywhere you go. But with that outward look of taking the message to the world. Do you give? We've taken a few weeks and looked at finances and just our heart and things along those lines. And last week we looked at a text out of Malachi chapter 3. Nobody likes that one. And I guess I didn't put it on there because nobody likes it. I thought I put it on there. It's Malachi chapter 3. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. You remember I shared with you, there's some of you walking around and or driving around in stolen cars and living in stolen houses because you haven't given faithfully to the Lord your offerings, your tithes and your offerings. Said, preacher, you just want to raise. No. It's funny, as we were talking about this last Sunday night, just one of those stupid things you hadn't thought of that you're sitting there going, that's really dumb that you didn't think of that before. When we were sitting there talking about it, I said, we use the number that's been given us is that the average Southern Baptist church gives 2.5% of their income to the things of the Lord. What if that was increased to where everybody gave a minimum of a tenth? Do you realize Georgetown Southern Baptist Church could put 2 to 3 more missionaries on the field today? You realize that? If our numbers are the same as everybody else, we could put 2 to 3 more missionaries, little bitty Georgetown Southern Baptist Church could put missionaries on the field. If we're just faithful. It says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and there be meat in mine house, and prove me now here within, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Lord says, test him. Folks, don't test him so that you'll get more. Please don't do that. Test to see that he will be faithful. Will you be able to live on the 90% rather than the 100%? All right? It's not that we get a whole lot. Folks, you may have to cut back. I'm here to tell you, I've had to do that before. Do I give to the Lord or do I get this thing that I want? And you know what? I cut back on what I want. It's not a name it and claim it. It's trust Him and try Him and see if He will take care of your what? All you wants. No. All you needs. And you do it how? cheerfully with our lives. See the passage. We shine that light. The last verse of the song says, "The darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light." Are you letting that light shine? Two weeks from tonight, we will come together with candlelight service, and we'll just have testimony time, a good time of remembering what the Lord has done over the last year. But we'll go around with the candles, and we'll watch the light go around as we light each candle. And we'll read Scripture as that takes place. As we meet, it'll help call us to remember and ask if we are truly being the light in this world. I said, "Preacher, I don't have to come now." No, I'm here to tell you, it's a special time for you to look into yourself as you go into this Christmas time. Let that light shine within your life. Maybe you're here today and you've never come to the point of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And you know that if you were to die right now, you would die and you'd go to hell in your sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. You say, "Well, I'm not that bad of a person." Let me tell you, you are. If you've sinned three times a day in your life, you've lied, you've lusted, you haven't honored your mother and your father, you've coveted, you've hated, three times a day. Just average it out, that's 1,000 times a year. How old are you? That's a conservative estimate. You're guilty before an almighty God, and you deserve to die and go to hell in your sin. But Jesus paid the price on that cross. God so loved you that He commendeth His love towards you, and while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Spread out those arms and He died. He shed His blood for you. And this morning, all you have to do is what Jesus said is repent. Turn from your sin. Profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, as the boss of your life. And desire to be changed by Him. And guess what happens? He comes in, dwells within you, and changes you. And as we started out the message, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwell within you. Today, will you come and profess Christ as your Savior today? He said, "Preacher, I'm going to put it off. I need to do it another time." No, the Scripture says now is the accepted time. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's now. Will you come and accept Him? Christians, are you on mission? I know it's Christmas time. It's an expensive time of year. That's why we started telling you about how much on Lottie Moon 3 weeks ago. So you can start looking and planning to give and go and be on mission. Let me tell you what. If you're not on mission, you are backslidden. You have gotten away from where the Lord desires you to be. And He'd call you to repent today. Where are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We praise You for it. We thank You for these texts that remind us to be out into our Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and toward the uttermost part of the world. God, I pray that we would be faithfully obedient to You. And Father, that our hearts would be broken if we are not on mission and our life is not about literally sharing the message of the gospel with those that are headed to a place called hell. Father, I pray for those in this room right now that don't know You as Lord and Savior, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit would draw them today, that You as Father would draw them to Yourself. And Father, they would come to profess You as Savior today. Father, we ask You, guide, direct in this time of invitation this morning, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Will you stand? As Brother Jim and the band leads us, will you respond to God's invitation on your heart today? Lord, have Joy to come together and to worship the Lord this morning. Encouraged to be back tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll have Awanas for all the kiddos tonight, starting at 6. And then we'll have a time of Bible study for the adults, also in the back room there. So, any other final word? George has got stuff due today. Y'all know what it is, right? All right. All right. Well, let's close with a song. Brother Jim, will you lead us, please?
There has been a misprint in your bulletin. We did "I'll Fly Away" last week, so we're not actually singing "I'll Fly Away" this week. Sorry to disappoint you.